Welcome to the So-and-So series, readings by early career poets.
Okay, thanks so much for coming. Welcome to the So-and-So. I always like to start out by thanking the people that live here. Bob, way up there.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. And Mary. And they are Rope-A-Dope Press. Sadie. Raise your hand. Sadie did the beautiful broadsides today, so give her a hand. But more importantly, purchase them. Save your applause if it's going to mean either that or your money. Of course. Do you have any announcements you need me to make? I don't think I have any announcements. Someone, I can't remember who, heckled me for not reading a poem beforehand. Because I used to do that. So I'm going to tonight. And this one's by Nicanor Parra. It's called Soda Fountains. I have no reason why. Sometimes I have special reasons, but I don't have them. Soda Fountains. I take advantage of breakfast time to examine my conscience. How many arms do I still have to open? How many black petals still to close? Like as not, I am a survivor. The radio reminds me of my duties, classes, poems, with a voice that seems to come from the bottom of the grave. The heart knows not what to think. I make out I'm looking in the mirrors. A customer sneezes at his wife. Another lights a cigarette. Another reads the news. What are we to do, trees without leaves, on such a cruel day? So cowardly and ceremonious a night. Answer, dark sun, turn on for a moment, even if then you go out forever. One announcement I have is that, is Hazel here by any chance? I didn't meet her. Hazel was supposed to be the second reader, but she drove all the way from Buffalo and then got sick. She emailed me on Friday and said she might not make it, and then she called me tonight and sounded awful. I couldn't understand a word she said. Think happy thoughts for Hazel. So that's a bummer. But we do have Phil and Keith. Our first reader will be Phil Cordelli. Phil lives in New York City, where he has been making piles of dirt. I forgot about this pile. It's great. Phil lives in New York City, where he has been making piles of dirt, raking leaves into trash bags and tending to other people's backyards. He's also an editor of Ugly Duckling Press. His poetry can be found in Cannibal, Cut Bank, and Eucalyptus, among other places. Phil Cordelli.
All right, well, thanks, Chris. Thanks, everybody, for coming out, especially Chewy. The name of my first pet rabbit was Chewy, so I'm in a nostalgic mood. Tonight I'm going to totally pander to the crowd and read all Boston poems. I used to live here a few years ago. The first one is after a movie by a Boston area filmmaker, Brittany Gravely. I think Brittany's in the audience. Brittany? Yeah. So this is called Introduction to Living in a Closed System. For children, the future is a fantasy. Humming, fragrant machines, tuned to light and water, holding patents yet to expire. In other news, I miss you today. The slight rush of recycled air, the lights like eyes. We started carting it all away. A large tree stands at the center in a confusion of limbs. The falling ash approximates snow, the sky even. Do you hear boats? I hear boats. That might change from afar. Planes circle, trying to land. Smoking, newly born mountains. Something must be breathing. A line in the ether. Watch the play of the surf licking the strip. This steady twisting of the neck becomes disagreeable after a few minutes. There is, however, a remedy. It is always possible to cut a sandwich with a plain stroke so as to have the bread, the butter, and the ham. We can, however, do the same thing differently in two steps. First, Tuesday increases in area, and Monday decreases. Finally, there's a moment when Tuesday reigns the world over. But it lasts only a moment, because Wednesday comes. Instead of looking sidewise, one keeps looking straight ahead. In every instant, he sees the instantaneous water edge, and he directs his steps tangentially. He walks across a line, touching the edge without cutting. We obtain a map that represents circles on the globe as circles and preserves angles. If the foregoing holds, with right replaced by left, and yellow if neither red nor green. The dream as I remember it. A large classroom of film students sitting in bleachers. We crowd around cadavers, and the professors, film teachers in white lab coats, crowd around us. We pair up. They select us by numbers. You are paired with a young girl with curly, sandy hair. I pair up with a nearly identical girl. Her name is Pei, I believe. We know each other, but I don't know how. We are number 4 and are picked by a male doctor. You are picked by some other doctor and sit beside us. You seem to want to join our group because you know me, so you persuade him to let you join us, because you assure him we will produce a prolific film. There's motion among the groups, but I can't discern any meaning to the movement. Everything is an overwhelming pale blue, the tile floor faded and looking very 70s, and our operating gowns, which I realize are in fact patients' gowns, open at the back. Then I feel the breeze. The breeze stirs me, and without realizing it, I've started into my corpse. Organs I can't identify are spilling onto the floor. I explain to no one in particular that I am nearly done, just fine-tuning the sound. These others I'll read are from a project called Plant Life, so all of the titles are different plants. Papaver somniferum. Myself and others, running, or sleeping in my case. Up a mountain trail, I take a shortcut up a steep section. We are going up to a house. We have repeated this a couple of times. When we get there, there's a Siamese twin of Brendan Fraser removing or shrinking his second head. I am somehow the cause of this, everyone says. I'm thinking, how appropriate that I'm engaged in removing a growth. If you reach out and touch it, you would discover it is not a flower at all, but bugs that escape the eyes of hungry birds by living and dying in the shape of a flower. Isculus hippocastanum, I think. Horse chestnut. I looked up that first word and everything for the pronunciation, but, you know. I missed the horse chestnut this year. Its fruits were already starting to fall. Of what reach are the spines? Which hydrama when they fall? Peel away to hard horse infighting. Municipality tells them to move on. Residents sweep them to side in signatures of animal control. They have officers hidden in the trees. Eat it off the ground if you still want it. Now he's eating it off the ground. These three, they want to fight with the big one. He's about ready to jump out the window. Suddenly the country is old, no longer forming. We need to learn strange languages like math, littering or lining pages with numbers and letters, connected or separated by lines, dashes, double or single parentheses. They all get used in the process of being worn down, ground in vice grips, race fans, ironworks, no more easy uprising. I'll spurn the singers of living, sewing machines, work and those who work in their uniforms, who support themselves, who have tied themselves with these lines. The crooners of setback, the sidewalk, hearing, less absolute, the least resolute of the senses, like taste, under heavy sway from scent. Reading the lines of others on benches makes memorial an improper noun, hastily making. Darling street, you met thick studded husks, rattle violet distemper in the purloined field. We house atop cliffs, our resident dunces, our whores in streets and septic fields, drawn stack in our pantries for our parties and parody in panties. The singers of living sing me to chase this woman with a dog, a girl dog. When I start like this, I have no way to turn back. I can only build, and with great bricks, and my throwing of them, and my later fumbling, mortaring. So I say, is this a puppy? And she says, stay out of people's things. The yards are empty farms. The Liberty Bell sells roast beef. I'll go have some, and leave these yellowing leaves and insistent empty stems to the birds and dogs of war. Old man, haul away the thinly woven flag, which hangs in and now is the sky. This is how I would rewrite it. Poke holes underneath each letter and breathe through them. Quercus palustris. Sing in pins, oak. Stir jealousies. Bear louse sighs. All lies house stalks. Tall talk, old man. Dumb and dull. Numb. Hand do. Corner. Ornery. Near. Bottle tell. Let bark tell it. Rough it. Our eyes. Closed ray. Said yes over music. Soften. Ruin plume. In often. In rue. Vermin. Sick. So wait. This lull cap. Lunar. Simple. Lack slew. Mince. See family mill. Fees fame. Cheap. He guarded. Dead. Populous. Poplar. There is no weather here. No more warm. Yes, people say it gets cold, especially at night. Colored waves of rust on old trains. Sun constant, the night consumed. Bitters after, fine floodplain cemented, paces apart like little shoes. A few rocks punctuate the bare hillside, battered and tossed into some arbitrary design. This one originally had an epigraph that I've been kind of playing with. The epigraph, I don't know, maybe it still will be. The epigraph was, what's really hood, bitch? So, I don't know, maybe that'll inform this, maybe not. Gorse. The plane feeds the sky. Air travel lances time. Shows us two in span. Sunset worrier pictures traffic and glancing drinks hair from bone, simple and prudential. Legs shift sugar around. You throttle them very slowly. In part, place no exit. A hyphen coin, warbler, a worrier, thicks back, rewinds cool tiger. Smaller, seasonal trickle, in sense of river. The crowd is less suspicious, the exception being the man with the New York Times. The many holders point backward, pleasures of wind and salt ruin, a greater prisoning in stone, formulas of lime, cut in crocus bones of shale, battalions with sour eyes, tour guides willfully falling. Dingle, dear inch, melt the factories, waving streaming flanks to the sky. New Peninsula Sound Wind. The weighty volume, the very best of old times. 9 times around any entrance, tidied by walls or hedgerows, the tracts of gazing land colonize hills. Misshapen, shipwrecked racers turn corners, accelerate, expand. Spindles, spinnerets, shot out the ass of this aisle. Cedar of Lebanon, heaven's reflex. Elector is city, of wood which they grow only in dense planted patches. They still burn. They grow by paneling, shopping for something to lift, for cranes, for licensees, for coffee to replace tea. Silent to each other, save to stir, save to pay or leave. Would that be still, dear wood, let her god grave of bill, to an old sheep farmer, in his backyard ruins, a homemade sign on the highway, its foliage a canopy of world dark plains, almost flat individually. Something loves chewing these stones, but in resinous, angled, packed logs, they still burn. Lycopersicum esculentum, tomato, small pear. Lot number 2414, 70 days, germination rate 90%. 114. Passing on the inoculant, one that fell between two like, this soporific sickness that brought his head, promised next to comfort him and thereafter live with him. All this trouble to secure a throat, as if you could move any air with it. Anyway, it becomes host. The contractions come irregularly and cannot be choked down. I've been a bombardier. Floral bursts of juice, thick liquid of organs, your sacs of air which heat and respire. You wish to parse waking from sleeping, organ from animal, and yourself from both permanently. So you take on water again instead of dreaming. You are a shape trying to become a color, a kitten made of string, loosely formed, and walking somehow, also somehow made by you. And you must make it move, but do not wish to. Do not care even to know how to do so. So you crouch under it, with those flatter-winged pigeons, vague-eyed and stupid, wondering who crowded the skies in your absence. In a fit of bursting, the various factions rise, in turn to play at rebellion and grow sickly in turn, red and tender, a consequence of excess blood. Your organs no longer seem to digest, only chew your interior to get drills through. Half fade for tickling, big fellow. The walls have speaking parts tonight. The news from your left side is not good. It died, face down behind an ice cream parlor counter. 2-2. There is a fish which I have heard also breathes with its ears. And cats are not allowed in here, but they come one by one to the door. They command but do not give. Lawrence rolls out of Arabia with bowling scores in his sidecar, draped in ever newer rags. The great inclusion will survive the succombing. They have the stores with the cigarettes, the money changers and launderers, lower light fixtures, dogs running through alleys, hills half chopped away. A vague citrus slant, drunk from postcards, the softer parts maturing and hardening what should not be passing. Here it is again, Aesculus glabra, or fetid buckeye. Not even fish can drink like a fish. Try to loosen your apparatus. Sample from a bag of like week's dew. left doctor, you generally try. A trail through bitter cheeks, it's kind of my fort. Cut together to get waterproof. Regard for the mute. Is it so much staging? Empty swigging and spotting of lights, paces and line readings. Sunglasses are available near the main entrance. Give me something to entertain myself besides your sharp face, my bride, and the oil you slide over it. Did I tell you about this? There was a large accident at the speed of light. I am sad to have predicted it. Thanks.
Keep it going for Phil while I eat my Oreo cookie.
That was delicious. Thank you, Phil. Our next and final reader will be Keith Newton. I kind of want to get on tape just the dog breathing heavily. It's like sort of turning me on. I was looking at Phil. Only when Phil reads. Same here. Keith Newton edits the online magazine Harp and Altar. His poems and translations have appeared in Typo, Nebraska Review, and Circumference, and are forthcoming in Harvard Review and Cannibal. A chapbook of his work will be published in the spring by Cannibal Books. He lives in Brooklyn. Keith Newton.
He once actually panted that hard during the sex scene in The Black Dahlia when we took him to the movies. So he's been known to do it at worse times.
And the woman in front of him was so alarmed.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Chris, for having me here. It's great to be here and to be reading with Phil, who just gave an amazing reading. I thought I would read a poem of Hazel's, which is on the beautiful broadside of hers that got made by Sadie. Thank you so much, Sadie. They're amazing. The middle argument. Or do I evade world in favor of words whose we I enact? What fumes and runoff could make a sky tangible, docile? My sky is less sure. I comfort myself with choices so as not to be here. Can everyone hear me up there?
Yeah.
I thought I'd start with a few poems which feel very appropriate in this space that take their source from other kinds of art and writing. The first one is called Novel of Education. The story in which I am a stranger, like other strangers. The extent where the study takes place. An hour to take from me, the comprehension. At the doubled lattices, the doubled winter. The white sky, provisional. The country, to the other, to the other. The story of my desertion. In the year of the costume, disinherited, set loose, at the elephant's balcony, with hooks and snow, the mechanical sleepers hanging from the trees, recognized in the photographs, among the crowds, riding out there at the first signal, identification at the blue gates, nighttime, on blue paper, at the whale's tables, belly to belly. The habitué is like me in mood and temperament. The fatalist rises to the occasion. The optimist locks the door. With the reasons lost to me, the arguments unprepared, at the little machine in the street with an offer to make, with contempt for the conditions in exchange for my claim. The productive silver like a coin in the silver of a hunter's room, the reappearance of a person, the reappearance of an idea, the reappearance of a situation, filed away as a refuge, drawn on closed ground. The story of my defense. The judgment is theoretical. The privilege that is taken away. At the radial barrier, through the official streets, on a train that wanders off like an animal into the fields, in the lead woods with globe and scepter, the apologist loses his way, the egoist relies on his wits, the solitary goes underground. At a multiple hour of dispersal, the birches circling on the frozen hills, through the narrow meadows out of the distance, the passenger refuses to look. The story of my restraint, the story of my arrival in the uniform of all confessions or none. And the next, in a similar vein, is called The Theater. They made me happen backstage. They were the troupe. They were the actors. I was the actor. That was how I was given my role. I appeared stage left, vanished, reappeared stage left, a phantom of eloquence and conviction. That was how they taught me to think. That was how they taught me to speak. Apparitional, devout. I was all that there was of that state of mind, going into that state of control. They appeared out of the bright dressing rooms, through the long rows of mirrors down the corridors. They appeared as the rows of their reflections, their faces and hands rising above the dressing tables, the smell of makeup and powder and sweat. The play began without me. They performed as disciples. They performed as families. Thick ropes hung at the sides of the curtains. In the wings, sets leaned backward against the walls. A father played the ghost, a mother the believer. They rehearsed their seductions after dinner. The backdrop was their possessions, the interior of a house, the interior of a city. In the morning, a city of gold. In the evening, a city of plague. Officials walk the streets with surgical masks carved into their mouths. I played the prodigal, the son who returns, costumed as a child of history, a witness to a system, a companion to a dying sect of old men. I brought home with me a virgin of the woods, who I found in the fall making seasonal preparations in her hair, who I took away in spring to make on her institutional demands, to let her make her tragedy known through me. Every morning I was told, go to the bus stop and speak to the crowds. I performed as a subject of inquiry. I performed acts of solitude. When I didn't want to be involved, I called for definition. I denounced the enemies of the people. I grabbed a book from my pocket and said, this book is like our script, like our direction. It tells us what we can and cannot do. Dreamers awoke in the seats as if I had awoken them. The actors returned backstage and I followed. I heard the talk of quitting smoking, what restaurants were open late. I saw myself so many times in the mirrors, I recognized the permission they gave and took away. materialization in a black sea. The piers tense with crossbreeds of leaded ice riding in, the channels of the harbor shut. The prodigious certainties of the harbor authorize my crossing, my removal. A jealous father destroys his rivals, like the chess master after school polishing off his students with a queen handicap, calling his daughter down from sunbathing on the black roof to babysit across the tenement hall. Why should I be denied the authority of the harbor when the babysitter's yellow panties shake loose from the sheets as the bed is stripped? I should have known how a jealous father decides who stays and who goes, who returns. Exiled from a black sea, big strangers speaking a strange language, knocking at doors. Trenched cables spool out as the arms of the cranes project over the water, the shadow of their turning slowly through the air. I'm going to forget whose father it was who wanted a prodigy. Seven hills of navigation, a petrified sky, 7 years older, like seven men returning to the city where they were born, given to distraction and given to questioning how exact to be. First inside the low mansions of the sun, first to escape the portals, first to enter. 7 years to read position, to make apologies, to unfasten from inside the domes of seven hills, the crystal vaults in which planets are locked, to chart a course by the sea's flares swung loose from their iron roots. Tropic series, designation series, a succession behind the activity, the colony, outcast. How, like tired men, shutting down a total system on the mirror of the sea, because a way back emerges, an exit, where the change must be apparent, a fallen object in the hand, to keep out of the way, to withhold the gifts. Rue Morgue. I came around looking for you in the Rue Morgue. The deaths in the Rue Morgue made me aware of other deaths, the women of other women. They stood in the cold as the spine of ice swollen below the pavement rose as though with breath cobbled into the street. I approached them thinking I'd get from them what you got. I'd tell them you were a friend to me and we were the same. Their eyes were swollen too, hardened with ice under the lids from looking too long without speaking. Their refusal to speak froze the breath into your lungs. You were so much hungrier than you'd ever known. When I came around looking for you in the Rue Morgue, the smell of your clothes and your hair and your breath had come in time to smell to those women like food, had come to smell to them like what would satisfy you when you were freed by the rules of another country, to want what you couldn't satisfy in Paris or Juarez. The women wouldn't tell me where you'd gone or admit to what they'd seen. A man looking for them in the cold, with no rules to follow, asking for them, their own mouths wrapped in scarves like masks. They refused to be my witnesses. Here is what the street is known for, the hunger of many kinds of hunger. view of a fortress. As you follow the procession on the hills to its vanishing of blue and gold, wiped out by the desert light in the sub-climax of evening, you cannot see past the voices naming what they are. If her waking body is drawn in the half-light of the last room in which you slept, you have fathered those shadows in which she lies. Horns on the pillows, horns, emeralds on the sheets. You were still unknown among the geometries of colored light when the fortress walls fractured out of the sand. Coming home at last late to the darkened house, your family slept and the countryside lay in waste. Those you left alone, you returned to. The orange roofs of a distant town sink past the sand drifts, blowing against the stone, blowing through the gates. Your past is buried in the moving shadows of the birds. The musician. Before those hours were like the last notes of music played from a stage for a woman whose seat was empty, who never came as she promised. I was like the musician, going all that way through the streets for the image of a woman standing at night in a fur-trimmed coat at the iron railings of a bridge, with nothing to give when I reached her but the music I'd play about what I'd seen and what I'd heard coming to find her. I'd play, "In the night I broke that city I crossed, but in a dream I brought it back to life." Before I was like the musician playing music for a woman who wasn't there to hear. Those hours were like the searching of a bridge where the fur-trimmed shadows of a woman's face could be seen in the light arcing upward on cables into the sky. How could I have known what was played for her in my absence? I passed open windows in the streets and there was music coming out. How could I have known whose influence she came under? I'd play, "How do I know what was going on all around me in that city I crossed?" This next one is a short sequence of a few poems called "Instruments No Man Has Ever Seen." It's a little bit different. Instruments no man has ever seen. Orange canisters encased in lead. Notational coding. Implementation. Defoliant of winds. Defoliant of strings. White horn of the doctoral beard. Warped on the reeds. Damping by the lips. Unload the equipment from the masqueraders' backs. Drones of the carnival prolong the winter journey. Hypothesis, a golden age. Methodology, all eyes share in the pleasures. White tube to go inside of. Plastic milk of the sea. Conveyor into the ice shaft, the crystallized reef. Gather the materials out of the trespass, under immune surveillance, scan, project. Procedure, a story's hero, condition, only acts if he's blindfolded. Darkroom chorus, print the siren film. Suspended like fruit, bandaged ornaments, fixed. The first time detection, grape or chain, raft or bundle, counterpart. Disguises for the unit, grafted, clamp-like, into position. Interpreters of dreams, advance. Tragedy, a halved pear. Farce, falling asleep under the pear trees. Formation of the lens. Stone helmet to see through. Guest of stone. Silvered field of view. Through the hammered mouth. A direction. Nocturne under the hanging lamps. Detail an end in itself. Carriers chalk the doors. Under the domed traces, mine a signal. Sheathed, bound with ribbons, stalked. Tall door, tall oil. Columned stations sunken like wells, immersed. Manifest, flash and lock. Shallow draft, stage of operations. Study of the long neck. Law whose eyes branch, show into painted leaves. These next two are little companion poems to Claire and Julie, which is again on my beautiful broadside, which I'm so excited about. Claire, blue eyeshadow, closed eyes, the sunlight on you is tame. The loose gold on your wrist, the collar, your white socks, the blindfold. The light underneath you where you lie grows wild in the grass. There's nowhere else for us to go, the wooded island. The porch, the storm on the dark lake twines the lilies at the posts under the piers. You are innocent of sanctuary. The rain surrounds us. As alone as you are in a dream, as consoled. Climb the ladder in the morning into the trees. Reach down your handfuls below your skirt. The garden belongs to you. Julie. The infatuates, drifters under the Jupiter trees, strike out for the white sun. White suited, going blind in your summer room. Your bitter new language is like a code. After you had done what you wanted, the experiment was over. When you like them best, the afternoons of a long therapy, they are not free men. The muzzle of the high ceiling is scrawled, and the eyes lock below the horns. The other passage is a little boat that drifts on a shadowy lake. The strange house is set back on the familiar lawn. What was entrusted to you is unrecognizable. Just a few more. This next one is called The Knights. It's about someone in the audience may remember the Knights at the Metropolitan Museum in New York, where I used to go a lot as a kid. The Knights. Upstate, the wild mint rotted on the roadside. The hawks circled above the clearing where the weathered, shattered engine rusted in the weeds near the tractor and the plows. The hawks were going home, and we were going home. In the dark tanks, the squid and whale fought through black water. The pearl divers held their breath and dove through clear water along the reefs. The meteors fell, from outer space. The hamburgers warmed under the lamps, wrapped up in foil. In the high sunlit hall, the armored knights were mounted for war. The raised lances struck up past the rough plumes as we circled below, staring up, not speaking. We scraped by, wiped the long hair from our cheeks, dirtied the sesame candies in our pockets. In the glass cases, the suits of armor propped upright like dummies were not much taller than us, in disbelief of what we saw if it was not what we were told. As we watched the dark slits in the visors, the flared gauntlets, the figures traced through the steel etching. But on the fierce horses, the knights appeared like giants, messengers riding for us out of the past, on the trampled fields of a foreign earth, riding toward their enemies, who we wanted, as they did, to die. And then I'm just going to read three short poems from a something very new, very unfinished, but I thought I'd give it a shot. It's called Sent Forth to Die in a Happy City. Garden, vestibule, corridor, asylum, a definite capacity in the black pines. Beginning as a salvage crew, an aberration of persons. The first night, standing in the doorways, approaching from the directory of a mirrored hall. The just man and the happy man as rivals of their kind. At the darkened ship, transmissible, on the table, binoculars, and a lamp. A process of steady disillusion. First impressions, the remote spectacle drawn to scale. A method for controlling the attention. Still they move like a group, black mushrooms gliding toward the line, possessed of the flies. The skeptic and the borrowed head in an age of discoveries. Tabular, binocular, lamp lit. High grass at the north gate, a pattern of the eye and the tree. Whether they exist as a speculative event in a deliberate landscape, brought to account, favored by the rules of precedence at the price of a sentimental designation, at the hollowing of the patrol, having done nothing wrong, the surgeon in her mask, the bystander. Thanks very much. Thanks.
Another hand for our readers and Sadie. Thanks so much for coming out. Of course, check out the broadsides. We have this is our fourth series of them. There should be 12 up there. But also, check out all the other stuff that Rope-A-Dope does. I assume these are your works here. So these are Sadie's other works. Bob's are looming above us. But there's stuff all around. So if you see anything you like, please talk to Bob or Mary. And thanks again for coming. What did I do?